Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
It's Sunday morning. It's me, Wendy Snyder, and let's say hello to the good doctor, Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Delnor Hospital, and This Week in Health is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Hi, Dr. Wheat. Welcome back.
Good morning. How are you this week?
Good. I love this warm weather. Have you worn shorts yet?
I have not, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I already have. I cheated. And then winter coat the next day, because that's how we do things here in Chicago. Right. But as the winter, as the winter wraps up, springtime is here, I started thinking, I give my dog heartworm and flea and tick medicine, and I started thinking about ticks coming out, and I'm going to be doing gardening work, and ticks are responsible for Lyme disease, and I think maybe we should know a little bit about Lyme disease.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Lyme disease is a disease that generally is spread through ticks, and so most often thinking about people that are outdoors when they see it. It doesn't happen right away, so if you just see a tick and it hasn't actually spent a lot of time in your skin, then generally you are okay. But ultimately, it develops a rash, which is usually the characteristic sign that somebody has been exposed, and then can have a variety of different symptoms. Most often that become impacts to your nervous system. And so if left untreated, can have some devastating consequences. But if we find it early, we can treat fairly quickly.
And I know that things have come a long way, but I do know some people that feel like it took forever for Lyme disease to get diagnosed. It's difficult to diagnose, isn't it? Because there are symptoms that kind of maybe are like other diseases or things that maybe you're not sure of.
That's absolutely right. It's hard because it's common things. Like the first symptoms are maybe fever, chills, body aches, headaches. Those are things that we get with just about every viral illness. And so sometimes it can be hard to know without seeing that characteristic rash that really directs us to it. And that rash is often hiding if people do have it. So yes. And then if it doesn't get treated, it can go on to have severe problems, sometimes shooting pains, arthritis, some severe headaches. And so it can really change over time.
What do you do? Ticks are disgusting when they have adhered to your body. It's just they bury their head in your skin and their body fills up with blood. Am I right in that?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Ugh. Okay. So what is the best way to remove a tick? Because I know if you see one, I think one time one of my kids in the bathtub, I noticed something that just looked weird, and I just out of reaction pulled it straight out, and thankfully I got it, because that's what they scare you about, like, oh, be careful or the head will stay in you, and then what happens?
Yeah, I just have to say I'm fortunate that I've never had to deal with this with my own family. When I was younger, I learned that you had to get the tick to remove its head on its own, and was given a recommendation about using something hot to place on the tick.
Oh.
But even better than that is to try to prevent it. Try to make sure that if you're going to be outside in wooded areas, that you wear long sleeves, long pants that are light colored so that you're not too warm, and use repellent so that the ticks don't come to you.
Yeah.
And then they really do have to be there for a long time, like I said, to cause damage. And so when you get home, showering immediately, making sure you're not seeing anything so that you're preventing any possibility of getting Lyme disease.
And not every tick can cause Lyme disease, right? This is a certain type of deer tick that is infected, right?
That's exactly right. And so sometimes people will recommend taking a picture or even bringing it in a container so that we can verify what the tick type is and whether or not you need to be worried about Lyme.
Okay. And I did see something in the news, and I don't know how accurate it is, so that's why we come to you, Dr. Wheat. I saw that there's a new vaccine that could perhaps curb Lyme disease infections. Is this true?
You know, I have to say it was news to me as well. This has not yet been approved. I did a little bit more digging, and it is undergoing trials right now. So far, it looks good. It has not yet been approved by the FDA, and so we have a little bit more time to see. But the trials have been very positive so far, so I'm hopeful that this will be a good option for people who are interested in the vaccine.
And I know I think you said this earlier, but if you do get Lyme disease, can it be treated?
Yes. And so we usually do better when we can treat it right away. And so when we notice that somebody's been exposed, we treat our patients with antibiotics. Specifically, the one we use most often is called doxycycline, as long as nobody's allergic to that. And it's not a short course. It can be 2 to 4 weeks of treatment. But when we start it early, it really has a good chance of preventing any long-term complications and really treating it.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of this stuff we give our dog, Simparica Trio, and it's heartworm and fleas and ticks. I wish there was some kind of vitamin we could take or something to help it. But this possible vaccine is in the works. Science is amazing, is it not?
It really is. It's exciting the things that we're able to prevent. At least I think so.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will continue talking to Dr. Santina Wheat. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN. And good morning to you. Wendy Snyder here. We're talking to Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Delnor Hospital. Dr. Wheat, someone has texted and said, what about using alcohol, rubbing alcohol to release a tick? And I just looked it up quickly. The best removal method is to use a fine tip tweezer, grasp the tick as close to the skin surface as possible, pull straight up, don't twist, and do not use alcohol, petroleum jelly, or a nail polish remover to make a tick detach while it's on your skin, because according to this article, this can cause the tick to regurgitate saliva and increase your risk of infection. Enjoy your breakfast, everyone. But so I didn't know that either, but you can submerge the removed tick into a container of rubbing alcohol. That will kill it, and then bring it to your doctor if you have any questions and they can test it, correct?
Correct.
All right. There you go. I just don't want, you know, a lot of times people call me misinformation because I put a lot of misinformation out there. I do not want to do that anymore. All right. So moving on, colorectal cancer is really becoming a common diagnosis. Rates are rising, especially among younger adults. In fact, it's the third most common cause of cancer in the world. Now, some things have changed. Earlier screenings, for instance, your diet matters, try to limit processed meats. But now they're saying that more fiber can really lower your risk of colorectal cancer. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that that's right. I will say that even for more than colon cancer, I recommend fiber to almost everyone. Almost none of us have enough of it in our diets. Excuse me. We really do need to be thinking about how we get that into our bodies. I feel like sometimes people are trying to avoid fruits and vegetables at times because they're worried about sugars, especially if they have diabetes. Mm-hmm. But we really do need that fiber in our diet.
And those, there are capsules that you can take. I've been warned by someone who has taken them in my family who said, don't take more than one at a time because they kind of puff up when you're swallowing them. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know that, but I do know that I try to avoid, whenever possible, I'd rather you get it through fresh foods than through supplements, because we never know exactly how much is going to be in those supplements because it's not approved in the same way.
Yeah, that is a good point, although I feel that at some point supplements are better than none at all, because we do eat 100% healthily every time you have a meal, because it's really hard to eat well all the time.
That is absolutely true, and we can't do it. But there is fiber and things that people might forget. Sometimes you can just make swaps that are whole grains instead of the white flour, and you can have more fiber in your diet.
Yes, that is great. Great advice. And another type of cancer is skin cancer, and we've all probably known many people who have had melanoma. I had a great friend pass away from melanoma. The best thing would be to get a yearly check at your dermatologist. That's the first way to start, right?
Absolutely. You can go to your dermatologist. Many of your primary care physicians will do this for you as well, whether they're family medicine, internal medicine. We can do these too. But even better than that is to try to do prevention even before. So making sure you're being thoughtful about wearing sunscreen when you're outside, wearing hats to cover your head. Sometimes people forget about their scalps and covering their ears. And then wearing, again, long sleeve light clothing, even when it is warmer outside, to try to help prevent some of that, the sunshine, which is the biggest cause of the damage to our skin, especially for people who are fairer skinned and with like blonde or red hair.
Yes, and I have a redhead and I'm blonde, and they say blue-eyed people too. It's so weird because I would imagine boomers are the ones with a lot more skin cancer, because when, I guess I'm a boomer, I don't really want to be, but we just put baby oil on. Sunscreen, what's that? We never use that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that we know a lot more now than we did before, and it's never too late. And I think one of the important things is, even when we have these days that are colder, it doesn't mean the sun's not there. And so people sometimes forget in the colder months that we should be wearing sunscreen all the time too.
And I would like to put a little PSA out there, a public service announcement for all you people who cut hair. Hairdressers, I don't know, beauticians, I don't even know what people call them anymore, stylists. You mentioned that don't forget about your head. I garden all the time. I never wear a hat, and because of skin cancer fears, I am going to start wearing a baseball cap every time I'm in the yard. But if you work on hair for a living and you see something that is a little suspect, let your client know, and you don't have to diagnose anything, but say, something up here looks not quite right. Maybe you should go get it checked out. Because that's what happened to my friend, and I just couldn't believe that the person who cut their hair did not mention something. So that's
Yes, no, absolutely. It's a good recommendation. And unfortunately, many times these lesions are in places that we can't see. So friends and family, it matters too. If you see something on somebody's back, just make sure that they're aware of it. There are things that can often go without symptoms that you're super aware of.
And your toes. That's how Bob Marley died. He got melanoma on his foot. I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but, you know, just keep an eye on things and never be afraid to go. Yes, exactly. And finally, I'll be honest with you. I take statin medication. Our cholesterol in our family is pretty high. My brother gave up eating red meat and ate healthy for a year, and it didn't even come down, and he exercises. So a lot of times that can be hereditary, right?
That's absolutely right. We see sometimes people with high cholesterol, even when they're children. We now actually check it in children to see if there is hereditary problems with cholesterol. And so, yes, it can happen. It can happen early. And even when you do everything right, there's still sometimes problems with elevated cholesterol. And so your physician might recommend that you have statin medication earlier than what you've previously thought.
Yeah, because I was reading that sometimes, like, the question, is it too early to start taking statins in your 30s? There are some new guidelines that are changing. Again, consult with your own doctor, and I bet fiber helps with that too, right?
It does. It helps with just about everything. Healthy eating and exercise is the basis for just about everything.
And are statins healthy? Because I think I read also somewhere that that is the number one most prescribed drug out there right now, is the statin medications.
You know, for most people, they are healthy and generally don't have very many side effects. It is true that some people do have muscle aches and pains with their statin medication. And so it is a reason, if you're having those symptoms, to talk to your healthcare clinician, because then sometimes it might not be right for you. But for most people, they tolerate them fairly well. And it's really helpful in preventing any further complications with your heart, preventing strokes. And so it's a really important medication.
And if you do have some of those side effects, speak to your doctor, because I switched statin medications and now I'm not experiencing any of those muscle aches. So as I mentioned,
two big classes that are helpful. Some people do well with one and some people do well with the other. So we can always try a different one.
Again, I have mentioned before, Dr. Wheat, that I'm a hypochondriac. So if I know of something that may happen, it usually does. So just check with your doctor and we will talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great week.
You too. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital.